4. Carl walked quickly away from the office, through the gloomy darkness toward the women's dormitory. The company grounds were deserted and silent. It made him feel strangely sad. He increased his pace. At last he came to the great square building where Barbara Mahler was supposed to be. He stopped, peering up, his hands on his hips. The stark side of the dormitory building showed no light, no sign of habitation. He stood for a while, letting the cold wind blow around him. Was nobody there? A shade began to flap, lost and dismal in the darkness. Everything was desolate. Most of the windows were boarded up. Carl shivered. He began to walk along the path, still gazing up at the building hopefully. Suddenly he stopped. A faint streak of light glowed, halfway along. He halted. The light came again, yellow, a slender strip in the expanse of darkness. Presently he made his way to the porch steps that led up into the building. For a moment he hesitated, a sudden shyness overpowering him. Maybe it would be better for Vern to get her. Vern had known her once. Maybe she wouldn't like to see a strange person coming around. He tried to think what she might be like. Had he ever seen her? Perhaps, in passing. He reached the porch. The air was cold around him. There was no sound. Everything was still. What would she say? What would she be like? Would she be glad to see him? Would she like him? He entered the building and began to climb the stairs slowly up to the second floor. The second floor was dimly lit by a few light bulbs, spaced far apart along the corridor. Could anyone really be nearby? He felt so completely alone, standing at the end of the hall by the stairs, looking down the long, gloomy passage with its shadows and closed doors, the walls stained and pitted. But presently, as he stood listening and waiting, he heard a faint sound, the sound of a board creaking not too far away, perhaps half the length of the corridor. He picked up a little courage and began to walk slowly along, listening and peering, looking for what? A sign of some sort. A sound, or a light, something to tell him where he would find her. What would she be like? Would she be pretty? How pretty? He stopped suddenly, by one of the doors. He held his breath, his head cocked on one side. Someone was on the other side of the door. He could hear someone moving around. A board creaked, rustling sounds, clothes. A squeak, as if something were moved. And then the unmistakable sound of bedsprings groaning and sagging. Carl waited by the door. Now he could see a lean crack of light underneath it, shining from the other side, from inside the room. He raised his hand, starting to knock, but then he changed his mind. He withdrew his hand, putting it into his pocket. It would be just the three of them, for heaven knew how long. Just the three of them eating together, talking together, being together. The three of them and no one else. Suppose his coming here this way got things off on the wrong foot. Wouldn't it be better to go back and get Vern to come and fetch her? Wouldn't that be less awkward? They knew each other, at least a little. They had seen each other before. But perhaps he had seen her too. He might have seen her, talked to her, without knowing her name. He thought back. There had been so many women working for the company in the time he had been there. It could be any one of them. She might even be old. As old as Vern, a thin, middle-aged spinster, with glasses and gray hair. Or she might be one of the little girls just out of high school, bright red lips, fuzzy sweater, clattering heels. A strange giddiness moved through Carl. She might be sweet and smiling with warm, dark eyes, soft hair, and the rest. Carl searched his pockets until he found his comb. He combed his hair into place carefully, as best he could, without a mirror. He straightened his tie, brushing down his coat. He took a deep breath, his heart beating rapidly inside him. All at once he was gasping for air, nervous and excited. The palms of his hands were moist. Suddenly the door opened. Carl blinked in the light. A woman was standing, framed in the doorway, a towel over her shoulder, short and square in a dark bathrobe, slippers around her feet, hands full of jars.
"Jesus!"
the woman exclaimed.
"I..."
Carl muttered.
"Who the hell are you? What are you doing out there?"
She dumped her armload down on a chair inside the room. Carl caught a glimpse of a small room, a bed, a table, a lamp, some women's clothing. I came to see you. I'm the other person, you and Vern and I. We're the three who are staying. The woman said nothing.
I was just about to knock.
His voice sounded feeble, apologetic, doomed.
It's the truth.
Abruptly, she laughed.
All right. You sure scared me. I was going down the hall for a bath. I thought everyone was gone.
Everyone but us three.
Come here so I can see what you look like.
She moved to one side, pushing the door back.
Come inside. Do you want some coffee?
Coffee? Carl went into the room. On the table was a little round Silex coffee maker, half full of black coffee. Steam drifted from the lip. A package of sugar, a spoon, paper cups, some hairpins, a ring.
What's your name?
The woman said.
Carl Fitter. I think I've seen you around.
I think I've seen you. Carl studied her out of the corner of his eye. Barbara Mahler was standing with her hands in the pockets of her robe. She was small and chunky, with thick brown hair. Attractive. Her skin was smooth and clear. She was perhaps 25, but there was a stern hardness in her face that made her look older. A reserve, almost dignity.
My name's Barbara Mahler.
I know. Vern told me.
Oh, yes. Vern.
Do you know him? She nodded. Carl walked around the room.
It's so barren. I have to get my things back out. I was packed. Everything's crated up.
Maybe we can give you a hand.
Fine.
She lit a cigarette and stood by the door, her arms folded.
Did you want to come over to the office later on tonight? We should see about dinner, and maybe we could have a conference, the three of us. A conference?
To decide what we're going to do while we're here. He gestured vaguely. To consider things.
What things?
Oh, there are always things to consider.
Enough for all three of us?
Certainly. First of all, we have to make sure there's food. Secondly, we want to make sure that the gas and water are still turned on, and Barbara laughed.
Okay, I get the idea.
She put her cigarette out.
You go outside in the hall and I'll change. I can take my bath later.
I don't want to interrupt you.
That's all right.
She moved away from the door.
Go on outside. I'll put on something else.
Carl went out into the hall. Barbara closed the door after him. He waited in the half darkness. The hall was very cold and unfriendly. The room, for all its bareness, was at least more cheerful than the naked bulbs, the dark-stained walls, the vague gloom. He shivered and wandered around. After what seemed like an endless time, he heard her stirring beyond the door. The door opened, and she stepped out. Now she had put on brown slacks and a red checkered shirt. Her hair was held back by some kind of clasp.
Let's go,
she said.
You have a flashlight? No. We can use matches.
They left the dormitory, crossing through the night darkness, along the paths, between the buildings, back to the office. They climbed the steps. Carl pushed the door open for Barbara, and they entered. Vern was sitting at the table, deep in thought. At the sound of the door opening, he leaped up, blinking.
I found her,
Carl said.
You surprised me.
Vern sat down at the table again. My mind was wandering, a long way off.
We're going to help her unpack,
Carl said.
All her stuff is crated up. Her room looks terrible. We'll have to help her make it livable again.
I can imagine, Vern said. Carl sat down beside Vern, motioning Barbara to join them.
This is the first time we've all three been together, he said. Let's consider our situation and see what we're up against.
Christ, Vern murmured.
For example, Vern and I will be living in the men's dormitory, very close to the office.
He turned toward Barbara.
But you'll be all the way over in the women's dorm. We should work out some sort of way to get hold of each other in case something sudden should happen.
Like what?
I don't know. Maybe some yucks might come and...
They won't give us any trouble. All they're interested in is the property.
Carl picked up the traffic notification paper. There was a directive attached to it.
What's this?
The original order. Vern took it from him.
I'd like to read it. I never saw it.
I'll read it aloud. Vern adjusted his glasses. I've been pondering it, off and on. This is to inform Henry G. Osborne, the general manager of the second station of the American Metals Development Company, that to facilitate the transfer of company land and property and all other real assets to the new owners, it is deemed advisable that 3 company employees remain on the premises of the second station during the transfer period, until such time as certified representatives of the new owners appear to take possession of their property. These 3 persons should be picked in such a way as to represent the company and all it stands for and believes in. And it is important that they, as the last members of the company, should adequately express those things for which the company has stood in the past, and for which it will continue to stand in the future as long as it shall exist. They were silent. That's all, Byrne said, tossing the paper down.
Osborne picked us at random. He opened the card file and pulled 3 cards out.
What a way to do it.
Can you suggest a better way?
Forget it, Barbara said. It's all over with now. We've been chosen. We might as well make the best of it. Let's go down and see about something to eat.
And that's the real issue,
Carl agreed. They walked slowly through the dark toward the commissary, guided by the crunching of gravel underfoot. We better look up some flashlights, Vern said. Barbara lit a match. They were very close to the commissary building. The front door was boarded over.
Well, Carl said, I guess we're going to need tools just to get in. Where can we find a hammer?
Aren't there any workmen left?
Barbara said.
They're gone. It's just us 3.
It certainly didn't take them long to get off.
There's no use standing around here, Vern said. Carl, go back to the office and look around for some tools. Look in the closet and around the washroom.
I'll go with him, Barbara said. I'll light the way for him.
Go ahead, Vern said. I don't need any light to stand here. Anyhow, I'm getting used to the dark. They went off. He watched the glow of her match until it winked out, disappearing in the gloom. For a time, he stood listening to the faint sounds of night. Then he became restless. He searched his pockets and finally found his lighter. By its light, he made his way up to the commissary door. He pulled aimlessly on the wood boards, but they were too tightly nailed. He walked around the side of the building. It was a long, low structure, with a narrow path leading from the main entrance back to the kitchen. He found the kitchen unlocked. They had not boarded it up. He entered the building and snapped on the lights. Everything was neat and orderly. The dishes were stacked up and put away on the shelves. The floor was swept. The garbage cans were empty and washed out. He approached the row of refrigerators. They were still turned on. He opened the first. It was full of food, sides of meat, packs of vegetables and fruits, cartons of ice cream and milk. He opened the hatch to the huge storage rooms and gaped in amazement. Piled high to the ceiling were hundreds of drums of food, fruits, vegetables, preserved meats, juices, everything imaginable. Sacks of grain, wheat and rice, flour, nuts, dried raisins and apricots. All left, all forgotten.
Good God,
he murmured. They left everything. The yucks were getting the works. They were getting everything. The company had given up and gone off. It was no longer interested. It was tired. It did not care anymore. Once it had guarded these things carefully. Men had counted each can, each package, each ounce of food. Countless forms and records had been made out for the bookkeepers. Armed guards had patrolled the periphery of the grounds. Wire had been strung up. Complex burglar alarms and bells. The company had protected its land and property with jealous cunning. Through centuries, its craft and power had grown, breeding and multiplying. But now it no longer cared. It had gone off, turned everything over to someone else. Someone to come, who was not tired, who was not exhausted. The company had been failing. For a long time, it had been going downhill, secretly, quietly. Deep in its heart, it was losing, dying. And in this last great fatigue, this final moment when the last threads of energy ran out of the withering stations, those few men who stayed behind, who remained after the others had left, were rich. They had everything. Men for centuries had dreamed of owning what these 3 now had. It was all theirs. The land, the buildings, the stores, the records, this whole station belonged to them. They had inherited it, the work of previous generations of workers, men behind desks, men in the mines, in factories, the work and the wealth from the work. The three who remained owned this heap that was the total remains of the company station. They had not built it or done much to help produce it, but it was theirs all the same. They were the only ones left to have it, in the dim short days that remained before the new owners arrived, before it became a part of that new world, that world which just a little while before had not even been entered on the company's list of potential competitors. Vern gazed at the food, and he thought of the other buildings, the stores and property abandoned to them, left behind. He could hardly believe it. The company had worked so long to acquire all this. Could it really leave it behind for others to find, for strangers to take? But meanwhile, it was a stroke of luck for the three of them. After they had eaten all they could, after they had slept in all the beds, bathed in all the tubs, listened to all the radios, taken out of boxes and crates anything they desired, they would disappear too, like the others. After a little while, there would be nothing left of them either. They would join the others. But right now, there was at least a week ahead of them. Later, the yucks would come with crowbars and hammers and open up the doors and windows. Maybe they would tear down the buildings. Maybe they would make them even bigger, or change them so that no one would recognize them. They might do many things. But right now, he was not thinking of this. He was thinking of the week ahead. Presently, he heard the sound of footsteps. Carl and Barbara came into the kitchen carrying a hammer. They stopped short when they saw all the food.
I guess that answers that question.
Barbara went into the storeroom. They heard her moving cans and drums around.
What do you think of these for dinner?
She came out, loaded down with canned chicken, canned peas, cranberry sauce, and a rum pudding. There's milk in the refrigerator, Vern said, and frozen vegetables and meat, tons of it.
Put the cans back,
Carl exclaimed, looking into the first refrigerator compartment.
Forget them. Look at all this frozen stuff. Let's have that instead. What a break,
Barbara murmured.
It's strange. I've worked for the company 2 years, and I've never seen food like this. They must have held it back.
Carl rummaged through the drawers under the great sink.
Look!
He held up two long flashlights, snapping them on. They worked perfectly.
What do you say? Let's take a look around outside before we eat,
Barbara said.
Let's make sure there's no one else here. Come on!
Carl handed Vern one of the flashlights.
We'll go and explore. We can eat afterwards.
Vern accepted the flashlight silently.
I'll go along with Barbara one way, and you go the other. We'll make a complete circuit of the property and meet back here.
Oh, what a waste of time, Vern murmured.
We ought to know for sure. There might be somebody left, some old workman, some old Swede, working away in a deserted building.
Okay. Vern wandered toward the door.
Shout if you find anything,
Carl said. Vern made his way along the gravel path, flashing his light listlessly from side to side. The light caught a tree, then a row of shrubs, then finally a great granite building, one of the administration buildings. The windows were nailed over. The door was chained. In the fog, it seemed forlorn and dismal. He went on. Now he was coming to abandoned piles of machinery. Massive columns reared up into the fog and were lost. In the darkness, it seemed as if they had been thrown there in no particular order, left behind, emptied out of some vast cosmic bag. Or perhaps they were the beginnings of some new, never-finished structures that had been given up, left to rust and corrode in the mists. But more, these columns seemed like the ruins of some very ancient city. Vern stood at the foot of one of the towers, gazing up. Perhaps it had supported the corner of some Colosseum, or a long-forgotten Parthenon. Would tourists come later to look? Would the new owners stand and stare and wonder what his world had been like, what the people who had left these hulks might have been? His people. His world. Vern moved on. These ruins were his ruins. The remains of the company. He came to the fence that marked the edge of the property. Beyond, even with the flashlight, he could see nothing but rolling fog and darkness. Was there anything out there? What would come from the fog and darkness? Would it be good? They were out there, the new owners who would soon be coming to claim their new possessions. Vern turned away. He walked slowly back toward the commissary, flashing his light aimlessly over the ruins and towers. The commissary was silent. The others had not finished their tour. He went inside and sat down to wait. After a long time, he heard them clattering up the stairs, talking and laughing together.
"What did you find?" Carl said. "Anyone?"
"No."
"Nothing either," Barbara said. "Let's eat, and then we can get my stuff uncrated, so I can go to bed."
"Sure." Vern got to his feet. "Let's start."
"I'm really hungry," Carl said. "Really hungry."